tough, you know, just couldn't find a way to make a final play.
You put that helmet on, man, that means something. And, you know, we didn't play with that grit.
We got to do a better job on the little things.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Laura Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. The Packers have lost 4 of 5 and now hit the road to take on the Lions. But before we get into the Lions, let's talk about what happened on Thanksgiving. As Coach McCarthy said, this offense is not where it needs to be. He said this team is playing sloppy, and that's not how they do things around this building.
Well, it's been one of the best offenses in the league for about a decade now. And when you hit a rough patch like the Packers are in, it does make you take a look at it and figure out what's wrong and try to fix it.
A lot of different contributing factors to the loss. But once again, the Packers had a chance to win it late. Let's talk about the last two plays. But I want to know first, what did you see on that third down?
I thought it was good defense by the Chicago Bears. Kind of a 50-50 ball, heavily contested. And I've seen James Jones make tough catches like that and just didn't make that one.
And James Jones was really hard on himself after the game for not being able to secure the win for his team.
I dropped it, period. No excuses, man. Catch the ball. That's our job. We receivers. Catch it. It's always tough to lose, man, especially when you give up home games. Games you should win.
Rodgers and the Packers offense with one last shot down on fourth down. What did you see on that last heartbreaking play?
Similar situation. Very difficult, contested catch, but a catch that you got to make to win in the NFL. It's a game of big plays. Would have been a huge one.
The Packers were unable to convert on fourth down, giving the Bears the 17-13 victory.
We had a lot of chances for points. This is on us. We had the opportunities to win this game. We didn't do it.
It's a game we expect to win, but we didn't play well enough to win. So we'll look hard at it. We're not going to overreact to it, but there's a pattern here in certain areas, and we need to adjust it.
We got to be better at the little things, finishing our blocks, catching the ball. We got to be better at the small things, and that's something that we're running out of time. We only got 5 games left, so it's gonna have to be a quick turnaround for us.
Larry, it seems like ball security has been an issue for Eddie Lacy this season. He had his third fumble of the year, and of course that led to the Bears' first score in the second quarter. But up until that point, the Bears hadn't really done too much offensively.
No, they hadn't. But the fumbling with Eddie, I mean, the guy runs with his hair on fire when he's running right. And he's running right as of late, and I think he'll work it out. It's a technique thing, high and tight and all that good stuff. But when you're running like a wild man, sometimes it's hard to keep track where everything's at.
Let's hope he can keep it up. Still in the second quarter, with the game tied at 7, the Packers appeared poised to score a touchdown, but an offensive pass interference call on James Jones led to a field goal instead. Now, a lot of guys on the sideline seem to question that call, and it's really all anyone's been talking about all weekend.
Well, I looked at the tape, and it seems like James actually picked the guy that was defending James. So running into him, that could be pass interference on the defense. He wasn't really picking another defender off another receiver, and that's what the rule is.
Penalties and miscues seem to get the best of the Packers in the second half as well. 6 minutes to go in the third, and Aaron Rodgers runs inside the 15 to the 11-yard line. That play was negated by a holding penalty. And the very next snap, it's a miss snap and a fumble. Those two plays just killed that drive.
You're just chock full of good news, aren't you?
I'm sorry.
You're wrecking my Thanksgiving all over again. The holding penalty on Josh Sutton, very ticky-tacky call, to be perfectly honest. The low snap from J.C. Treader, he's been flawless for 2 games. It happens from time to time. Hopefully rarely, but it happened. Nothing you can do about it.
And on that fumble snap in the third quarter, Aaron Rodgers said that he was hit in the elbow and actually played the rest of the game with numbness in his hand. He started to brush it off after the game and said that he was okay.
Well, he's a tough nut. He's a warrior, and that's another example. He's a leader of this football team, and you see your quarterback out there playing in pain or what have you, the other guys will do it too.
Still to come on Packers Today. Yes, the Packers offense is struggling to find consistency, but before you throw your hands up in the air in disbelief, give Larry and I a chance to show you why things aren't as bad as you may think. And later,
from Southern Mississippi, number 4, Brett Favre.
Honoring a Packer legend with perhaps the most appropriate tribute of them all. Packers Today, presented by Verizon, is back after this timeout. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Conventional wisdom says if you can run the ball and stop the run, you win. Well, conventional wisdom didn't live up to its end of the bargain against the Bears, but the Packers did control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Offensive examples. Focus on the middle three. Sitton, Treader, and Lang. James Starks has enough blocking to start right, cut left, then come back to the right for 7 yards. Next, from Bakhtiari on the left side to Balaga on the right, it's total control. Take a look. It doesn't get any better than this. Eddie Lacy goes for 8, but if he doesn't trip, he's still running. Defensively, the Packers controlled the LOS in two ways. In some cases, like Mike Pinnell's, they were just too strong for the Bears. In others, like Dayton Jones, they were just too quick and athletic. True, the Packers lost the war, but they did win the battle up front.
Overall, the Packers held the Bears to just 3-3 a rush, while Eddie Lacy averaged 6-plus a carry, James Starks more than 5, and those numbers are a reflection of what's going on up front.
I agree. I mean, I think that the O-line did a substantial job.
Good for you, Lauren. I'm glad to hear it. I'm going to tell the guys. We're getting fired up for the Lions.
Just because I said so. Okay,
I know
thanks,
you're
Larry.
Grinding that tape all the time.
It's a grind, but someone has to do it.
All right.
On defensive side of the ball, Larry, the sacks have slowed down a little bit for Clay Matthews of late, but he's still playing for this defense.
Oh, he sure is. The thing about Clay, have you noticed how the Packers' run defense has improved? Clay is an impact player, and he makes impact plays even if they're not rushing the passer. And those sack statistics are very misleading in his case because he's making plays all over the field. He makes not only those plays, he makes plays for other guys. Just a terrific player having a terrific season.
Now, for guys who are trying to make it in the NFL, this game is about opportunities. And right now, wide receiver and kickoff returner Jeff Janis is making the most of his opportunities.
Sure is. He doesn't get a lot of touches, but those touches he gets on kickoff returns, the guy's got an afterburner, and when he turns it on, nobody can catch him. He's had 2 major league returns in just the last couple of games. Hey, want to see more of him on kickoff returns.
I want to know what you think about this. So he has been productive. So how does this play out when Ty Montgomery returns from that injured ankle?
Well, right now, Jeff Janis offers the Packers a big play dimension. And as long as he continues to keep offering that dimension, I think Ty Montgomery's got to wait for his opportunity.
I know the fans are crying for more Jeff Janis.
Oh, he's the king of the Twitter world. I asked him about that the other day. He kind of chuckled and thought, what a stupid question.
Feeling the social media love.
Coming up next, in the spirit of giving thanks, the Packers paid tribute to both of their legendary quarterbacks at Thursday's game.
I certainly thank God for the opportunity to play a game I love so much and to play it for such a long time and in the best place to play football in the world.
When we return, a look back at what was a very touching halftime ceremony here at Lambeau Field. We'll be right back.
At quarterback from Southern Mississippi, number 4,
He was a guy that went out there every game and gave it all he had. And that's what the people here respect about the man.
You can learn a lot from Brett Favre, his leadership style, the intangibles, how he treats everybody in the building, how he motivates his guys in the huddle, how he has the ability to intimidate the opponent really without saying a word.
He was a true competitor. I mean, he was a joy to watch. Sometimes when he'd have his bad moments, the fact that he had the ability to get back up and go out there and do it again, and this time, you know, actually capitalize. When I think of perseverance, I think of Brett.
Packer fans everywhere realize that connection of pride and emotion and passion that he brought to the game that is hard to get elsewhere. He's touched a bunch of people's lives, players, fans, and coaches.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundraland. Brett Favre embodies all that football stands for: toughness, accountability, and excellence. For 16 years, he gave his all each and every Sunday for this franchise. And no matter how his career ended in Green Bay, Brett Favre is forever a Packer. And his number 4 is now displayed on the facade inside Lambeau Field for all to remember just how special of a player he truly was.
On behalf of the Green Bay Packers organization and our fans, welcome home. Please direct your attention to the north end zone as we count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you. A little bit different weather than July, but this is Green Bay weather. I love it. I love it. I certainly thank God for the opportunity to play a game I love so much and to play it for such a long time and in the best place to play football in the world. I want to thank my teammates who are here. I love each and every one of them. I enjoy playing with them, and that jersey retirement is shared with those guys. I love them to death. And I certainly want to thank my family, and they're here tonight. They're on the field. They get to see what it's like at Lambeau Field when it's cold, windy, and rainy. There's nothing like it. I thank them so much for being so supportive all the years. And most importantly, I thank you.
We now have a special person who has worked really hard to be here with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Bart Starr.
I know Brett said that it was a touching tribute, but it made it even more special for him to know that the return of Bart Starr was there.
You know, when you look at Bart Starr's return to Lambeau and all the challenges he had to overcome to do that, it was like one more win for Bart Starr at Lambeau Field. It was really cool.
It was a very cool thing to get to experience. Still to come on Packers Today.
Whoa, you bet he did! Happy Thanksgiving, it's 37-7.
The Lions' offense may have garnered the attention on Thanksgiving, but it's the play of their defense that's fueled their resurgence. Larry and I zero in on Packers-Lions when we return.
Here we go. 32 seconds showing on the clock. Onside kick coming up. Here's the kick. High pooch, right side. It is deflected. Perfect. Marius Nando at the midfield marker. The Packers have life. 5 seconds remaining, and it's come down to Mason Crosby.
Come on, Mason.
Here it is. Placement made. Kick is no good. And the Lions hang on to win 18-16.
The Packers fell to the Lions 18-16 back in Week 10. The loss snapped the Packers' 13-game win streak at Lambeau Field. Despite a frustrating day offensively, the Packers rallied late and had a chance to tie and then win the game in the closing seconds. It's worth mentioning the Packers' defense held Detroit to just 45 yards and 26 attempts for an average of 1.7 yards per carry. Detroit's win at Lambeau has sparked a 3-game win streak. Last week, the Lions rallied late to beat the Raiders at home 18-13. And on Thanksgiving, Matthew Stafford and the Lions offense were firing on all cylinders against Philadelphia. And that's where we begin our scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau. Let's take a look at the second quarter. Matthew Stafford to Golden Tate. He walks it in for the score, and that puts the Lions up 14-7. Time winding down in the first half, and Matthew Stafford threads the needle between two defenders for a 25-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson. The Lions led at the half, 24-7. Taking a look at the third quarter now, opening possession. Stafford somehow gets this one to Calvin Johnson from 4 yards out, and the route is on. The Lions' defense had a big day as well. Ziggy Ansah with 3.5 sacks on the day, including this strip sack and fumble recovery in the third quarter. Leading 31-7 for good measure, Matthew Stafford throws his 5th touchdown pass of the day and his 3rd to, you guessed it, Megatron. The Lions in a blowout over the Eagles, 45-14.
Over the last 3 games, the Lions have played very well defensively. Look at some of these numbers. They've allowed a total of just 167 yards on the ground, which averages out to less than 3 yards a carry. And Ziggy Ansah, with those 3.5 sacks against Philadelphia, is now tied for the league lead with 11.5 sacks. So the Lions' defense really coming out strong and starting to make a name for themselves. Now, Lara, I want to know if anything stood out to you in particular about the Lions the last time the Packers faced this team.
Yeah, the missed field goal at the end of regulation when the Packers could have won the game.
Yeah, that one stood out.
Yeah, that's hard to get over. But you look at the game overall, Packer defense wasn't bad, played a pretty good game. Packer offense at that point was struggling both running the football and passing the football. The running game issue seems to have been solved with the reemergence of Eddie Lacy. But throwing the ball, still a work in progress, remains to be seen.
Well, it seems to be working for the Lions. On Thursday, they put up 430 yards of offense against the Eagles. It appears Matthew Stafford and company are responding to the newly appointed offensive coordinator in Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, I'm sure their confidence is growing. And if you look at the Lions offensively, Matthew Stafford, he's a talented young man. He can make all the throws. And he's got Calvin Johnson, and he's got Golden Tate. And anytime you have those three guys in the same huddle, you got the potential to put up some offensive fireworks.
Okay, is it just me, or does it seem like the Packers and Lions have kind of switched personas the last couple of weeks? What's happening?
I think it's just you because they're still the Lions. I hope they're still the Lions, friends.
Okay, let's count on that. Once again, the Lions play host to the Packers on Thursday night. Be sure to check out Packers.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram throughout the week as we get you set for the rematch in Motor City. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.